All right, welcome to the first episode of the California Golden Blogs podcast. I'm Rob Huang.
I'm Trace Travers.
And here we go. Once again, undisclosed location. You will never find us, I hope.
Yeah. Again, recording somewhere different each week.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, from Applebee's bathroom to my apartment's conference room to somewhere else in the East Bay to maybe a room in Dwinnell.
Yeah.
You'll never know.
We're working on recording this at the top of the Campanile, if they'll let us.
Yeah, yeah.
May hear some bells once in a while.
Yeah, if you find us, we'll give you a prize. All right. This podcast is mainly for Cal Sports. Actually, we might talk about some other things about the university if certain, you know, fun things or newsworthy things happen during the week. If
it comes up. And we'll try and get some interviews once
in
a while.
Yeah, yeah. We'll try to get some guys in here as well. I don't know if that's possible for now, but for maybe, you know, that's a future goal of ours.
It's a future endeavor.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll just talk about Cal sports mainly. We'll talk about football. We'll talk about basketball. We'll talk about baseball later in the year as well. This will be a weekly thing. We'll try to get this up, you know, either Sunday night or Monday morning every week, so you guys can listen to this on your Monday morning commute. And yeah, so we'll talk about, in terms of football or whatnot, we'll talk about the game we saw this past week. We'll recap. We'll talk about the highs, lows. We'll talk about the other Pac-12 games that went on, and then we'll also preview the Bears game the following week and also some of the other Pac-12 games coming up that week.
Yes, indeed.
Sounds about good.
Yeah.
All right.
Down.
Yeah, let's start with some just news around the Pac-12 this week. A lot of depth charts have been released.
Except UCLA. Because Jim Moore is a coward.
Yeah. Well, probably. We do know who the quarterback is.
Yeah, we know Josh Rosen.
Yep.
The Rosen one. They're not bringing a Jerry Neuheisel, which is a very sad time for everyone. Yeah. We can't chant Jerry at him anymore.
I know that he did deserve after that win and then
against Texas.
Yeah, that after that throw he. All right, but moving on. The key from that, Washington releases their depth chart, but has no quarterback or running back as a starter.
They've got a few questions. I'm not a big fan of Jeff Lindquist. Jake Browning, he could be their next quarterback, and we believe he's a true freshman. So it'd be interesting recently with the influx of true freshman quarterbacks playing, Brett Hundley, Jared Goff, Josh Rosen, as we just mentioned, Anu Solomon. Yeah, and all these guys starting at their just at the beginning, just being thrown into the fire instead of brought along a little more slowly, a la any of the USC quarterbacks in the mid-2000s.
All right, yeah.
Except for Matt Barkley. He was also a true freshman.
That was correct. Yeah, he played pretty well. And on that note, to USC, Steve Sarkisian doing up-downs. That was
Dude needs to work on his form. I mean, they pay so much tuition for students to go there. You think you could hire a good strength and conditioning coach who could say, okay, you're doing this wrong. Stop recording. Start recording when we can teach him to do this correctly.
Yeah.
Or make a video out of teaching him. That would be a good, like, pump-up thing.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good one, too. Or if his football players taught him how to do up-downs.
Oh, yeah.
That might be a fun one.
Sue a Cravens.
Oh, there Beat we go. Him up. Oh, yeah. Or chasing him around the field.
There wouldn't be much of a chase. Guys, fast.
Well, it would end as soon as it starts.
Yes.
Pretty much.
5-second head start.
That's right. On to some Cal football news. Daniel Lasco rated the number 7 running back by Todd McShay on ESPN.
Yeah, he's going to be a top running back prospect, honestly. You watch his run against Colorado last year, 92 yards. It was a run after the catch, I should say. 92 yards, longest touchdown in Cal history, surpassed Zach Maynard to Keenan Allen pass in a Washington game in 2012, I want to say.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, it's incredible to see how he's grown. You know,
yeah.
He was on the depth chart behind Calfani a few years back, and now he's leaps and bounds ahead of where Calfani is right now, and it's incredible.
One thing I do remember about when I filmed at Cal was Lasko was on the scout team against the defense, and of all the guys on the scout team, our old defensive coordinator, Clancy Pendergast, who's crazy, I will add, he loved Lasko. Lasko made a lot of cuts. He made the defense look silly, which for a couple of years wasn't really a difficult thing to do, but he had that talent from the get-go, and it's good to see that talent being realized.
Yeah. And on to some more Cal football news. Recruiting-wise, Jordan Duncan, four-star wide receiver out of Mississippi, hashtag Mississippi Mafia,
yeah,
has decided to commit to Cal after his OV.
Yeah. Jacob Peeler, he's doing work. He's doing his thing.
With every recruit that he's in contact with, basically.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. And you never expect. Looking at him, he looks like Adam from Workaholics. It's almost a dead ringer, but we've got four receivers in this group. We're probably going to have about four or five leaving after this year. I think four of them for sure, and Steven Anderson, Maurice Harris, Treggs, and I think Lawler.
Yeah, though Lawler could stay. Yeah, he could stay.
But he may be the most likely to leave early, considering his highlight reel catches. So we'll need to reload on receivers, and Duncan as a commitment is a good way to do that.
Oh, yeah.
He's solid at improvising when his quarterback scrambles. He didn't have the best quarterback, so they're and not the best offensive line either. So he had to adjust, come back to the ball, find an open space, connect, eyes on the quarterback, and he did a great job at that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I like what wide receiver wouldn't want to play in this position or in this system, right? It's just you're going to get the ball at some point. This isn't a number one wide receiver type of offense. So the ball's going to come to you. You're going to get the opportunity to make plays. So
there were the most passing yards in school history last year when we didn't have a single 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah.
So that should tell you something.
It's incredible how balanced this offense is in terms of just getting the ball and distribution. All right, let's move on to the real football talk. Our first game, Cal, Grambling State, September 5th, 2 p.m. at Memorial Stadium.
Oh, yes.
Oh, here we go.
All blue uniforms, I'm being told.
Football season is back.
Yes. Been waiting for a while.
Yeah. And, okay, let's start a little bit before that then. We had our first college football game this past week, North Dakota State.
Versus Montana.
Oh, Lord.
Montana came out on top. 1 yard run with, I want to say, 3 seconds to go. And then, unlike another famous game, they squibbed the kick. The other team, North Dakota State, fell on it. And Montana won, which was excellent against a four-time FCS champion. And that's four times in a row.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Hey, you know why Montana won? Their basketball coach is Travis DeGuire.
Yeah.
That's the reason their football team won is because their basketball coach used to be an associate coach at Cal.
He almost beat us last year.
That is true, too. That is very true.
That was in a stretch of some very, very, like, Tyrone Wallace had to save us games.
Oh, yeah.
Which we had a lot last year and will not happen this year.
Yeah. So. All right. Back to Cal football.
Okay.
Against Grambling State. First off, a lot of people are wondering about Grambling State's marching band and that they are coming. Are they supposed to be good? Is this what we're waiting to watch? Is the student section going to be happy watching the Grambling State
marching band? When we played Ohio State a couple of years, they brought their band, and they are called the best damn band in the land for a reason, and they were pretty excellent. Good. This is going to rival that. They've got a great drum line. Think Nick Cannon movie, except 12 times better. So, and they're going to bring that here, and it's going to be something to see.
Yeah, it definitely will be fun to watch.
It's a highlight of the game.
Yeah, it's always fun to watch just another school or non-Pac-12 school's marching band come play at
Memorial. Non-Pac-12 school,
yeah.
Emphasis.
Yeah, emphasis. Emphasis on non-Pac-12. Especially not that band that lives across the bay.
That's not even a band.
Yeah, I think it's just a bunch of volunteers, right?
It's a bunch of doofuses wearing costumes, carrying things made out of metal.
All right. Well, onto the football. What do we want to see?
Okay. Let's see. What do we want to see? If we're making outlandish predictions, yes, I want to see.
This is not the realistic. This is just things you want to see personally.
I want to see 70 points. I want to see a Mortal Kombat finish him type deal where someone pulls out one of the opposing player's hearts.
Oh, I thought you were looking for an Antonio Brown face to the kicker.
That too. Actually, I like kickers. Punters are people too, everyone. Do not hurt the punters. They're very nice people.
Yes, at David C. Wright. He definitely is an advocate of kickers.
I actually, when I filmed for Cal, I used to stand next to Brian Anger before practice. And he'd get real angry when he was shanking stuff, and I'd tell him that's farther than I've kicked anything in my life. That guy's a great dude. He's having some good success with the Jaguars, but that beside the point, I want 70 points. I want us to just dominate all phases of the game, 4 or 5 turnovers caused, 4 or 5 sacks, just have a dominating pass rush and show what we can do. And I want Cole Webb to throw for a touchdown. You hear me, Cole Webb? You're probably not listening to this, but I want you to do you. And that's throw a touchdown like all those garbage can fade drills that you've been practicing.
That's right.
Yeah, what are you hoping to see?
I want a touchdown in every statistical category possible. 1 kickoff return, 1 punt return, 1 pick six, 1 fumble recovery for touchdown, 1 passing touchdown, and 1 rushing touchdown. Is there any more other types of touchdowns we can do?
What about like a post 2-point conversion that they go for and we pick it off and run it back for another 2 points? Do they do that at the college level?
They do that. I think they do that at the college level, do they? I think they only do that at the college level. I don't think in professional you can bring back an extra point.
I hope so. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Regardless, even if that's not possible, every other thing we just talked about, so Jared throws the touchdown. Lasko runs the touchdown. Kanavai returns the punt for a touchdown. Yeah. Trevor Davis runs a kickoff for a touchdown.
Devontae Downs
fumble recovery for a touchdown. And
let's go Luke Rubenzer with the
interception. Either Luke Rubenzer or one of the freshman DBs.
Yeah.
I think like a Malik Soms or an Evan Rambo decides to run it back. I think.
Can we count Antoine Albert in that category?
Oh, yes. Actually, you know what?
Any of
the DBs. Realistically, any of the DBs.
Yeah.
Just a pick six. You know, yeah, I think that's.
Heck, I thought of one more. I don't know if this technically counts, but whoever returns the kick after a safety.
Oh, okay, okay. I mean,
that's technically a punt return. But
yeah, it's like a pooch punt, though.
Yeah.
And the guy starts off with the ball in his hands. All right. Let's get out of the realm of
out of the fantasy realm.
Please. Let's look at things we expect to see. What do you expect to see, Trey?
Okay, we're dropping 50. That's a given. Even when we weren't too great, we dropped 50. We're gonna play good defense. We're gonna have made 2 turnovers cause not too much. We're gonna probably not gonna have a kick return and a punt return and an interception return and a fumble return. I think we'll have at least one of those. Probably the punt return.
At least turnover-wise, we'll have, I think, one of each.
Yeah.
Might not be a touchdown, but I think we'll have at least 1 fumble recovery and 1 interception.
And a fumble.
Yeah.
At the very least, our cornerbacks have looked miles better than what they had. Darius White, in particular, has looked pretty good. And honestly, I don't know. I want to see some of our freshman wide receivers get into it. And I think they will. Kanawai Noah, as we mentioned earlier, he's been returning punts, but he's also looked excellent in fall camp. He's running smooth routes. Look at his high school tape. It's excellent. I can tell you that right now. So,
all right. For me, I expect Jared to just have an amazing statistical first half. I think this is, everyone's talking about him, dark horse Heisman candidate, all that. This is just the warm-up game, in my opinion. Yep. For him to actually make that and jump himself into that discussion, it has to be during the Texas game for him to torch that. But for now, the Grambling State game, just classic Jared. You know, throw for 300 yards, throw for like four touchdowns.
Yeah, I see him as... This has got to be some of his... In the early season, I see him, if he's going to have a chance at the Heisman, playing a little like Aaron Rodgers circa 2004. They're just being accurate. He doesn't have to throw for the most yards because he has a running game behind him that can do work. But when the time comes and the pressure's on, he'll have to make the throws that he can, which... He definitely can make any throw better than any.
Yeah, and I'm also hoping that Jared just is able to throw at least every single type of pass, every pass pattern you can think of.
Yeah.
Just get a completion in every one of those passes, and I think his confidence going to the San Diego State game next week would definitely be rising high.
Yeah.
If he can make every single one of those throws. And I think, you know, playing against a live opponent where the guys can hit, the guys can tackle, the guys can... You know, just push off. And
yeah, he has all the tools and all the people to throw to. So.
Oh, yeah. All right. Who are we focused on in terms of looking?
Okay. I'm focusing on the defensive line, specifically James Looney and Kyle Cragin. I'm excited to see what Cragin does after coming back. He didn't look too great in 2013 when he played, but watching him in the spring and in the few fall practices that I went to, it's night and day. He's got the explosion off the edge. He's got a few more moves, and he looks leaner and meaner, and he'll be solid. And Looney is what we've been missing next to Mustafa Jalil. Moose has had, he takes up two offensive linemen pretty much every time, but he hasn't had anyone who could take advantage of that. Sorry.
No worries.
And... Now that he does, it's gonna be a lot better to watch our pass rush this year, and our defense won't be an abomination or an excuse to go grab more pizza from the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think for me, I'm on the same line as you. I'm looking at Looney as well, but for me, I'm looking at Devontae Wilson. I'm looking at both of those guys new to this. Looney's never played in the Pac-12. Wilson, of course, played at USC, but didn't really play much till he got injured. So I think for me, just looking at those two guys, having not played for a year, how quickly they get adjusted to the speed of the game. And then on top of that, from what I've seen at practice, they look ready to go. They want to tackle people. They want to
I want them to tackle people.
Yeah, yeah, we all do. and, yeah, they just look like just men on a mission. They know what their assignment is, and they're just going to go out and try and get it done.
Not like the mid-90s WWE tag team, though.
Oh, no, no,
we
no.
don't want them
no,
to
no,
be
no.
like that.
No, 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 no. Maybe like the Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
You know, like little tag team
the Mohawks,
moves. There you go. There you go with the
face
with
paint.
With the spikes on the shoulder pads. There you go. That's pretty much what I want to see. And then also, of course, our defensive backs.
Oh, yeah. Just whoever's starting in the defensive backfield, which it's White and Ellensworth at the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's McLaren. I believe Vanderbilt is starting, or he's played with the ones a lot.
I think it's Demarié.
Oh,
Demarié.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
My mistake. I don't have it right in front of me.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's been extraordinarily.
Oh, he's been amazing.
He's been night and day again between what he had been and what he is now.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely outstanding, what I've seen from Demarié after a year at JC. Just,
oh, yeah.
Woo, he's a different man. And then for me, I'm just going to put in a little asterisk in terms of what I want to see is Harry Adolphus.
Oh, yes.
For king and country, Harry. For queen and country. My mistake, not king and country. For queen and country. For queen and country, Harry. That that was probably the highlight of one of the practices a few weeks back.
He wears some weird colored shoes, but he can kick the heck out of a ball.
Yeah, and to have a kicker who can tackle really well and run the field.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's having the other team's playing with 10, you're playing with 11. So I think it'll be just as fun to watch him punt. And his rugby kicks, just they're insane. Pretty outstanding. Let's see. On to prediction time.
Okay, prediction time. I'm predicting 54-10.
54-10.
Just covering that 43.5 point spread.
Okay.
Don't gamble on that. Remember, kids, gambling's bad. Can lead to problems. Can lead to going to Reno, which you don't want to go to Reno. I had a roommate from Reno, but that's a story for another time.
My prediction is 55-7. I think the 7 comes either as in the first quarter or it comes in garbage time in the fourth quarter. I think it's one or the other. I don't think they score during the middle of the game.
Either you're caught unaware or you've just kind of let the floodgates a little loose.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my prediction.
Small crack in the dam.
Exactly. All right, so that's it for Cal. I mean, we would talk about the game that happened last week or the game we just saw, but this is the season opener.
Yeah.
There is not much to talk about in terms of going into the season. So we will talk about what happens in Grambling State next week, and then we'll also talk about San Diego State coming up next week. All right, let's go on to just a little quick whip around about the other Pac-12 games going on this week. There's 3 Thursday games, 2 Friday games, and 6 Saturday games. This is a really weird way to divvy this up. Well, but
7 Saturday games, including us.
That's true. That is correct. Yeah, 7 including
6
us.
Other ones.
Yeah, 6 other ones. So let's just do a quick whip around about the other ones. The first game Thursday to start off all of FBS is Utah-Michigan.
This should be Harbaugh's homecoming, so to speak, at Michigan. I'm not sure what kind of offense he's running. If he runs one like he did at Stanford with the power eye and just a lot of running, he's not going to have a good time with Utah since they've had Stanford's number these past 2 years. They have a linebacker who I really like in Jared Norris.
Yeah, you trying to run against him. You're running against a brick wall.
Yeah, it's watching on a tangential sort of note, watching the Raiders Cardinals game last night, where Chris Collinsworth said, if I wanted to gain a yard, I'd run anywhere in the world except towards Khalil Mack. That same idea holds with Jared Norris. You don't run at him. You run away from him. You double team him. You do what you have to do. But I don't. If you have to double team him, then you're not going to be successful against the Utah defense.
Yeah, definitely not. They're pretty sound.
Yeah, they have big defensive tackles who can take out 2 linemen at a time.
And also, if I'm not mistaken, they also have the younger brother of Carolina Panthers defensive tackle Starlo Tulele.
Yeah.
So, you know, if
he's a big man.
Yeah, if he's half of what Starlo Tulele was, that's...
He might be at least 3/4.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, if he's even that, oh, God, that's a handful to deal with in terms of the offensive line. And then the following Thursday game, number 2, UTSA, Arizona.
Don't really know too much about UTSA. Except they're from San Antonio, and I think they run the option. They did last year, from what I remember. But Arizona's got another year with the new Solomon, and he was so excellent last year that he'll be even more so this year. Rich Rod's going to do his thing. That's
yeah, of course, and that defense anchored by Scooby Wright in the middle of the field, that defense is pretty outstanding. I mean, Jared said he's one of the players that he would recruit if he were to recruit any player in the Pac-12. So
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and that says a lot.
He's like a souped-up version of Mike Muhammad.
That's a pretty
two-star guys who are outplaying that by a lot.
Yeah, pretty astute comparison with Mike Muhammad, who is one of my favorite linebackers. Him and Zach Follett, probably, besides the point, but two of my favorite
Follett
linebackers.
Follett was excellent.
Oh, yeah, he was amazing.
I think he owns like a tea house.
Follett?
Yeah.
After his Detroit Lions career ended?
Yeah. He owns a tea house back where he's from. I think he's from Fresno, if I'm remembering correctly.
Along the same lines as a Duke's championship winning center, Brian Zubek. Apparently from my Duke friends, I've heard he runs a cupcake shop in New York City or in Durham.
That would make sense.
Yeah, a 7-foot NCAA championship winning center makes cupcakes. All right. Sorry that we went on a big tangent there.
Hey, tangents are good.
Yeah. Next is the final Thursday game for the Pac-12 is Colorado Hawaii.
Neither of us know anything about Hawaii this year. Both of our last memories are of Colt Brennan
or Timmy Chang.
Yeah.
For me, it's Timmy Chang and Trevor Davis is last school before he came to us.
Yeah. Thank you for that one, Hawaii. Really helped us out there.
Yeah.
But as far as that goes, we don't really know how Colorado's going to do. Cefalufau's still there, so he's got another year, and he's looked good in some situations. He's looked bad in some other ones. Maybe he'll be solid. Maybe he won't. We don't really know.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of weapons around him to use either. So,
fairly certain. Did Nelson Spruce leave?
I think so.
Okay, then that's going to be a little tougher. They've got some good running backs there, but they're going to have some trouble this year. Plus, the Pac-12 South is loaded.
Yeah, they. That's a really tough division to come out of. It's just the Pac-12 North is just. Oof. I'm sorry, but yeah, they're just really good. Next up, Friday, first game, Weber State, Oregon State.
Weber State. Huh. It's a little tough to project something like this. Again, Oregon State, I've no clue who their quarterback is going to be. They do have a stable of running backs with Teron Ward and Storm.
Barswoods.
There you go. Did not remember his other last name. He's changed it in a sort of Maurice Jones-Drew situation.
Yeah.
But they got Gary Anderson from Wisconsin. Solid coach. He was solid while he was at Utah State. And they'll be fine. They're going to win this game. And unless Damian Lillard comes back to play for Weber State if he has any eligibility, which he doesn't. So.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of that, it's just... I mean, Gary Anderson had the most success at his prior stint, and now he's at Oregon State. And, you know, the Pac-12 in terms of coaching is just getting better and better and better every single year. So I expect him, you know, to just install his offense and his defense into this team, just trying to figure out what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. He's still – their quarterback situation is, you know, kind of up in the air right now as well, so – once they figure that out, I think they'll get better.
Yeah.
But just maybe not this year.
I don't think they're going to a bowl this year, but they're going to get better. It's Oregon State. They always sneak up on you somehow.
You know what? Just to take that back, I'm just looking at Colorado's roster. Nelson Spruce is still there. So wow. He does still have
is that guy like on the Van Wilder plan or something?
Yeah, he's still on his
seventh year.
One more year. He's wow. A senior. Yeah, so they list him as a senior in the 2015 roster. So
okay.
They got one more year with him. Just that number one receiver. Gosh. So he might put up some gaudy numbers this year.
Yeah, some Paul Richardson-esque numbers.
Yes, yeah, pretty much. All right, on to the next game on Friday. Oh, this was an emotional one. Washington-Boise State.
Yeah, well, you get Chris Peterson. He's going back there.
Back to the blue field.
The Smurf turf is going to be graced by whichever quarterback they choose. He's apparently already picked, but he hasn't announced it publicly. I think it could be Jake Browning if the reports of him running with the ones is true, as Lindquist isn't the greatest quarterback in the world.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they can do. They've lost a lot with Shaq Thompson, Howley.
Kikaha.
Yeah.
There you go.
My pronunciation is a little bad. Danny Shelton, I can pronounce that name.
Yep.
That guy's gone, big nose tackle. So they're gonna have some work to do, and you can never count out Boise State. They've been perennial power in that group of five deal for the past however long now. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, it'll be Coach Peterson's not gonna say much about it, but
no.
It definitely should stir up some memories. I mean, he's playing against players that he recruited. And so there will be, I mean, granted, once the football starts, he's too focused on his team to worry about the other guys on the other side. But for now, just, I mean, as a coach, it's got to be pretty emotional. You spent all your majority of your success at this place. Now you're coming back in your first game first game of the season at your former school. That's it's a pretty emotional way to start.
Oh, yeah.
All right, the next game, that red team across the bay plays...
The old Lobsterbacks play Pat Fitzgerald's Fighting Non-Unionized Wildcats.
That's right. Thank you for taking away the NCAA football game, by the way.
I thought that was someone else.
That was Ed O'Bannon. That was Ed O'Bannon.
That was a UCLA guy. We have more reason to hate them now.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure the Northwestern unionizing that had a little bit to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, it was an aftershock of.
Yeah, definitely. But let's talk about that game. Pat Fitzgerald versus David Shaw.
I hate both of them.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I mean, Stanford bloggers can't spoil anything for Pat Fitzgerald because there really aren't any. Yep. So there are very few.
Yeah, we ended up not spoiling anything for Pat Fitzgerald last year. So
yeah.
That was a pretty highlight and moment.
Since they won't have Luke Rubenzer there, Stanford's obviously going to, what am I kidding? They're going to win by a lot.
Yeah.
Because they're solid every single year. It's like Groundhog Day, except with big white offensive linemen.
Yeah, and yet their stadium seems to downsize every year.
Yeah, Palo Alto, it's not a great place. I don't like it very much.
Yeah.
I make sure to pee on a tree every time I go there.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
The Fighting Ficuses.
So please, if you ever go to Palo Alto for the big game, please steer away from any trees. There's a lot down there, by the way, but try to steer away from any of those trees. You never know.
Throw one specifically in a wood chipper.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Waiting for that video to be made, Cal Pump Up people. Want to see the tree going through a wood chipper, then you just see the googly eyes afterwards.
Yeah, can we see that at... Can we see that at the bonfire, please? Can we get a wood chipper machine at the bonfire for the big game?
Yeah, because we already kind of burned trees in effigy.
Yeah, so. Well, we burned an entire mountain of chairs, so why not add a wood chipper and...
A lot of wood pallets, from what I remember.
Put a few through there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, having that next to a bonfire would be a fire hazard, I would think. all right, let's move on from that. The second game on Saturday is Portland State, Washington State.
My prediction is that they're going to throw the ball a lot.
Yeah, well, yeah. Will the ball ever be handed off to a running back?
Over 10 carries.
So if I were to put an over-under at 10, you'd say over.
I'd be hesitant to, but
team. Let's say per team 10.
Okay, there's going to be at least 10 for Portland State. I remember they play a sort of spread deal. They've had good running quarterbacks there in the past, but... I like Luke Falk. He's going to do pretty well. I don't know who they have at the running back position. So we'll see.
Yeah. And but the question for Washington State is their depth chart was just released earlier last week. But they have an OR at quarterback. Hmm. So my question to you, Trace, is this Mike Leach being Mike Leach, or is this just he really doesn't know?
Let's see. He's about two cans short of a six-pack. He's the most, he's the sharpest bulb in the box, that being the broken one. But as they say, a broken clock is right twice a day, and he's much better than a broken clock. So he's fine. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he definitely
he's
does.
Not putting anyone in a shed, though I'm pretty sure Adam James probably deserved it.
Yeah. Mike Leach is definitely a character. Thank you for 2-for-1 coupons and sturgeon fishing out in Washington.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows just as well as any of us, Craig James sucks.
All right. Next up is Virginia versus the Baby Bears, UCLA.
Okay. Our UC Los Angeles, they got played pretty tough by Virginia last year. It was a very close game between, I don't know, I think Virginia could have won that game, even though they had next to no offense. But if UCLA's offensive line is made 25% better than last year, they'll go off on them in a cakewalk. They got Josh Rosen, first-time starter.
It's going to be a big test for Josh Rosen for his first game to be against Virginia.
The Rosen one.
The Rosen one, that is correct.
That's a weird name.
Yeah, and he almost came to us, too.
I'd rather have Forrest and whoever Bowers and
yep.
The helicopter that Bowers is.
Yeah, this Virginia UCLA matchup would definitely be better on a basketball hardwood court.
Yeah, I agree. Man, I'm looking forward to that Virginia game this year.
Oh yeah, and we'll talk about basketball in a little bit. But for now, the next game on that list is Ooh, this might be the best.
This is the game of the week as far as the Pac-12.
You know what? I'd give Utah, Michigan its run for its money, but I think this is definitely the market game. Texas A&M versus ASU.
Yeah, Arizona State. They've Herb Street picked them to be the Pac-12 champions this year and to go to the playoffs. And there's a chance they could. They lost their biggest threat in Jalen Strong, who honestly was one of my favorite receivers last year. I think he should have gone way higher in the draft.
Oh yeah, definitely. He dropped really too far, and he was a steal later on in the draft.
That being said, they've got plenty of weapons. DJ Foster is going to wreak havoc from that slot position.
Yep.
And I'm a big fan of Mike Bercovici. He's been excellent quarterback. What it took to win that USC game, he did. And that was 500 yards and a blown coverage at the end. But he did it. That takes a lot of guts and a lot of other stuff, too.
Yeah, and for me, talking to him at Pac-12 Media is that he's well-spoken, very well-poised. He knew what he wanted to talk about. He knew what he wanted to say. And the guy just looks like an outstanding guy. He just he was talking about, I think for me, the highlight was he buys his O-line in and out every week. He said he started it 1 week, and he just couldn't. You can't stop to eight 300-pound guys, you know, wanting in and out.
That's like a couple 3x3s, some animal fries per guy.
And I give him credit for that, because that's a lot of burgers. I mean, they're not going to be done with just one.
They're running them out. Get a milkshake or two in there. You're working up a pretty big tab.
You're going to buy them a tornado each. Do you know what a tornado is in In-N-Out?
I don't.
It's a 1 4x4, 1 3x3, 1 2x2, 1 regular 1x1, and then 2 fries in the middle. So it's in the box, so it looks like a little tornado.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've done a 3x3 and a double-double at one time, but...
Yeah. So I'm thinking O-line guys could probably finish your tornado by themselves.
Yeah, they don't do the bigger than 4x4s anymore, do
they? You got to call in advance now, from what I've known. From what I know, you got to call in advance.
Okay, because the one near where I'm from, they got annoyed at one of my brother's friends for ordering a 14x14.
Oh, dear Lord.
So he ruined it for everyone.
All right, on from In-N-Out Burgers. So that Texas A&M and ASU game, that it's probably going to be the highlight of the week. Kevin Sumlin, he knows what he's doing.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so they're pretty set there. On to the next one, Oregon, Eastern Washington.
So it's the homecoming of Vernon Adams, the new starting quarterback for Oregon.
Yeah, he finally passed that math test, huh?
Yeah. I don't know what level of math is, so I can't appropriately mock him for it, and I probably won't, because math is tough for some people.
Yeah.
For others, it's not, but who's counting right now? He probably was. So, yeah, he'll be solid. He made some excellent throws last year against Washington, so he's got some pinpoint accuracy, is much more to work with this year. With like Royce Freeman, amongst others, they have a whole it's like Russian nesting dolls with them.
Yeah.
You take one apart, another comes out, and it's just as ornately done as the rest.
Yeah, will it ever end? Never, never.
Uncle Phil's got him on lock up there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. For me, in that game, it's just watching Vernon Adams. I think. His first game back playing against his old teammates, I think it's going to bring out some emotions. That'll definitely be an interesting game to watch. And how well that system, I mean, his talent set and skill set is perfect for that offense. But a question is, can he make the right decisions, the right throws, and how well does he, just chemistry-wise, match up with those wide receivers and then those running backs that he has?
Yeah, he hasn't had too much time, too.
Yeah,
so.
Not a lot at all. All right, and the final Pac-12 game of the week, Arkansas State, USC. Do we really need to talk about this game, Ed?
Probably not.
Yeah.
USC wins by 40.
Yeah.
Sark smashes a bottle of Cutty Sark over his head afterwards, like Bluto in Animal House.
And he does more up-downs on Monday morning at practice?
Yeah. He'll do a couple. They got to bring in some sort of like Marine drill instructor to teach him some proper form and to call him
Maggot,
amongst other things. They got to bring in Arlie Ermey. He's got to need something to do.
Yeah. The
guy from Full Metal Jacket.
So yeah, I think that game's gonna be a blowout. I mean, that's the last, if I'm not mistaken, that game is on Pac-12 networks, and that's the last game of the night. So
Pac-12 just, after dark.
Yeah, that will be Pac-12 after dark, and that's just gonna be one of those games just fun to watch, regardless. You know, I mean, we're gonna play them here at home this year.
On Halloween,
exactly. A lot of costumes, please. A lot of bear costumes and a lot of capes.
A lot of capes. Even though that lady in The Incredibles said no capes.
Yeah. But we want capes.
Capes. That lady, they're making The Incredibles too, so they could have capes.
Yeah, exactly. So if you just want to watch some offense, see how they look, from what I've heard and read, they look pretty good. So
yeah.
So usually right now, if we were looking at our regular schedule, we would talk about the team's games next week. But since we're not doing that, and it's our first podcast, let's talk about our Pac-12 prediction, Trace. Who do you have winning the Pac-12 North and the Pac-12 South?
I have Oregon versus ASU, or not ASU, sorry. I'm thinking everybody else's prediction, but I'm thinking Oregon versus Utah. I'm high on Utah.
Okay. Just,
I think Devontae Booker is an excellent running back.
He is pretty amazing.
If Travis Wilson can give them something,
and not all Johnny Football on us and run every play.
Yeah, that's actually, I think Kendall Thompson is their running quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
If he's still there. He might not be. But Jordan Wilson, he's a solid, solid quarterback, and they've got an excellent defense. They got Star Lotulelei's brother.
Yep, pretty amazing.
They're going to be good. I still like Oregon over them.
In the Pac-12 championship game?
Yeah. Oregon, it's like death and taxes, and Oregon being good at something.
Oh, yeah. For me, I'm going to say Cal wins the Pac-12 North. I think for this year in particular, my heart and my gut says both.
Yeah.
Both agree that Cal is going to win the Pac-12 North. I think we might just squeeze by and win.
If we can pull like a 2004 run out of our butts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or we start well like 2007.
Yeah.
Or we start really well like 2007 and we just don't have that nervous breakdown. That is correct.
Longshore doesn't mess up his ankle.
Yeah, if that, then that's a lot of what ifs, but oh dear. So that's my prediction in terms of the Pac-12. Cal wins Pac-12 North, ASU wins the Pac-12 South, and then Cal wins national Pac-12 championship game. For me though, if Cal doesn't make it to the Pac-12 championship game, my money's on ASU winning this year.
Okay.
I like Berkovich. I like DJ Foster. I like that defense, and they're pretty stout. And you know, Todd Graham. Todd Graham's Todd Graham.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot better from his days at Pittsburgh and whatnot. Yeah. So,
yeah, that's it.
Reason to be excited.
Yeah, so that's it for football. Let's move on to some of the other Cal sports. Let's talk a little about basketball. If you haven't been living under a rock, you probably know that this basketball team for the Bears this year is supposed to be pretty outstanding.
Yes.
With a guy named Ivan Rabb from Oakland and a guy named Jalen Brown from Atlanta, Georgia.
He's I've officially nicknamed him the Midnight Train to Georgia.
Yeah. Okay. Is that going to catch on? Is that just your thing?
Probably not. None of my nicknames ever catch on. Vic Enwery is still Vic the Brick to me. He's not the notorious VIC.
Oh, that one's a good one. Whoever made that one up.
I think that was Nam.
Oh, thank you, Nam at Cal Rivals. I actually like that nickname. VIC.
I'm still more a fan of Vic the Brick.
Okay.
Like things that rhyme.
You're going to try to push that this entire season, aren't you?
I've written it in every single thing I've mentioned him in.
All right, back to the basketball. The guys just came back from a trip to Australia where they went 3-1. They played three amateur teams, and then they played a professional team at the very end of their trip.
They didn't lose by too much to the professional team.
They didn't, and they actually went into overtime as well.
Yeah.
And granted, in overtime, they played without Ivan because he fouled out. They played without Jalen because he fouled out. And then they played the latter half of that overtime without Ty Wallace because he fouled out.
Is there some officiating bias or something?
I don't know. I mean, at least for the freshmen, from what when I was stayed up to watch that game, the freshmen made some silly fouls.
Okay.
Ty Wallace just had to foul because he is the point guard. At certain points, you know, you just, if you're ahead of,
you got to do it.
You just got to make those. You just got to stop him from making an easy layup. So
chuck it in there and throw him.
Yeah. Like you can do that. That's five fouls right there.
Yeah.
Chuck and Chaka. So
I really like that kid, though. I will say that.
Yeah, he's I think it's the hairstyle that gives him the confidence.
And he throws a pretty mean no-look pass, too.
Oh, yeah. And he looks better. I mean, the size is an issue definitely for him against
it's
other Pac-12
pointers.
It's always
going to be an issue,
yeah.
But the guy with the most points in Cal history was no more than 5'8".
That's true, too. So yeah, they just got back. I know some people that took pictures with them on campus this week. Just on the first day of school, just saw them outside. Some building. I don't remember. But yeah, they look really good. We'll talk more about basketball as the season comes up and when we start talking preseason stuff. But for now, yeah, we're gonna be talking about them a lot.
Yes.
And when I don't know if our podcast can be this long, but when it goes into that gray area where we're talking about football and basketball, this is going to be a pretty long podcast.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, we'll try and we'll keep it tight.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it concise as possible, but we're raving about that basketball team right now. And then some other sports that have started so far. Soccer started this week. The women's team started with a win at home.
Yeah, they had it was a rematch of what they had in their tournament last year.
That's correct.
And
they
won pretty resoundingly from what I saw.
And the men's team is actually ranked number 16 in the country to start the season, but they lost 3-0 away at San Diego. But they're back at home this week. So hopefully they can start off their home streak. Maybe that'll light a fire under them that they started. Maybe they start a little complacent.
Or there will be another wildfire that sets their field on fire.
Yeah.
Which could happen. We're having some pretty warm weather here.
Yeah, we are. We are having some great weather here in the Bay Area so far. So if you're listening from other parts of the country, just know that it'll be a gorgeous day this coming Saturday to watch Cal football.
It's not fun when your air conditioning and your car is broken. Get that fixed as soon as you can, people. It's not fun.
Are you talking from personal experience?
Yes. That's neither here nor there.
All right. That pretty much wraps up our podcast tonight. If you guys want to email us, we are goldenblogs@gmail.com. We are actually currently looking for a podcast name. We still have not officially figured this out. So if you have any ideas, any witty ideas, any funny ones, have to do with a podcast, has to do with maybe with our namesake, California Golden Blogs, if you can make a little mix match out of that. I've come up with California Golden Pod, but that seems too basic.
Mine are all not safe for work, so I can't mention them here. Anyway, we're just trying to leech off your creativity, people.
Please, 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 please help us. So email us at goldenblogs@gmail.com. Or tweet at us at Golden Blogs, or check out our website too, californiagoldenblogs.com. It is not just the two of us. There are a lot of people that contribute
to
that website.
There's a lot of us. I looked through the list. It's
Just click masthead at the bottom and look at how many writers contribute to this website or have contributed.
We're all Cal fans.
Yeah.
It's wonderful how many people. Yeah.
So please join. We have live threads going. Follow us on Twitter at Golden Blogs as well. We live tweet a lot of the games. You can banter, keep up talking with us. A lot of us are very active on Twitter.
We'll occasionally live tweet a movie once in a while. One of us takes control of the Golden Blogs account.
Well, if it's Shark Week, I think we pretty much nail
Sharknado.
Yeah, Sharknado, we definitely live tweet. For me, if you want to get in touch with me, tweet at Rob11HWANG. And for Trace,
I'm at TraceTravers3. No spaces or anything. Just 3 is the best number.
Yeah. So not only with the podcast names, but if you want to email us or tweet at us, any comments, stories about Cal that happened during the week, or just questions that you want to answer, we'll probably add a little segment at the end of the podcast answering your questions, giving you little shout outs, and so on and so forth.
A little read, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. So
good times.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week after the Grambling State game to recap that and then look forward to the San Diego State game.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Roll on you Bears.
Roll on you Bears. First and 10, do it again. Go Bears.
Go Bears.